Hello and you're all very welcome to episode 4, I Sprain My Mental Health podcast. An assortment of all things mental health, philosophy, idols and inspiration. I'm delighted once again to share my thoughts and words on emotional fitness, my life journey and the bits and pieces in between that intrigue and interest me. My intentions are that in sharing the particulars surrounding my own conscious journey since the lowest point of my life 6 years ago, that somebody somewhere can take my learnings and understandings, make them their own and pursue their own steps towards betterment within. 3 episodes down, we're growing, we're developing. Feedback aplenty. From downright interesting to downright ridiculous. And to land straight into it, I had a text from one of my friends last week after putting out episode 3, and I'm delighted to know my friends are listening. And he said straight out, "Dave, I fucking love you, pal, but please stop using sentences like, in relation to, you sound like a fucking school principal." Taken on board, my friend. Taken on board. Much more related to the podcast and the material and content that I'm trying to sort of develop, I did receive plenty of texts. First up, about my good friend OJ Adventures, who scaled the pool bag chimneys, which I went into detail about last week. Some people say I've ruined it for them, that they live in Dublin, they love the towers, and every time they look at them now, I still call them towers. I was doing that last week, the chimneys. And people saying that, you know, they just love that view down, whether it's Clontarf, Sandymount, or wherever you're taking your stroll. But now when they look at them, all they can think is some lunatic climbing it and sitting upon the top with not a care in the world, which has kind of made me love them even more. I was restless last week. I also got asked, was this my next charity challenge that I was going to scale down there and climb one of the chimneys? And I can safely say out straight, people, I am not going to climb one of them. There is not an absolute chance. I'm okay with heights. I don't think I have any really big fear of heights, but I don't know if there's legal issues, moral issues, or what it is that would hold me back from that, but it's not something I'm going to pursue. I think I'll stick to the running or cycling or something a bit more kind of exercise based and not complete and utter lunacy. But delighted to start the conversation, delighted people have gone on to check out the videos. And a bit like myself, I had plenty of people saying that in watching one of his videos, they ended up 3 hours glued to YouTube and touring Europe, climbing chimneys and towers. I'm allowed to say towers this time because he has climbed towers. If you missed it last week, OJ Adventures on YouTube, climbing pretty much anything that's above 2 stories. Very interesting. So to review the feedback that has come in following the first 3 episodes of the podcast, the main point of convergence has been very much about the discussion I put out about volunteering for the self-help phone lines for teenagers, which I committed to for a period of 9 months a couple of years back. So on this, not many people at the time knew I did this, either family or friends. I kept it quiet. And there was a couple of reasons for that. I think just discretion is one thing, is that obviously you didn't want people kind of asking about callers and maybe discussions, conversations you were having on the phone with somebody. I think that's a moral issue, a respect issue more than anything. But I think as well, the true essence of charity is that you're kind of, you're giving and helping others without expectation. And with respect of my own journey, and that's what it was part of, it allowed me to remove myself from my own ego, which is important because I think the place I had been, which was the lowest of the low, you know, I had this kind of cognitive distortion that led me to a place of learned helplessness, which is pretty much, it's a fucking chasm of self-pity, and you lay the foundations of all sort of immolation where I think I was between, my place rested between the conscious and self-conscious, and everything was so fucking automatic with no self-control, no effort, no commitment, no responsibility, with a view that any of these things would lead to nothing, would lead to no improvement. In that I was down, I was out, nothing could change. And that's a difficult place and an overwhelming place to find yourself in. So I will come back to that. But to jump forward, what would have been 2 years, to give yourself to something like a charity phone line, it's just a selfless act, and it was an important part of the experience of growth for me, in terms of decoding and changing the mindset that I had that was so fucking closed and miserable. It's quite fucking depressing still kind of thinking about it, but that's the reason why I sort of committed to it. It's purely to escape my own ego, and like, there's not much more I can say in it. So perhaps the exasperations in the last segment can maybe give you an idea that discussing this, you know, my own journey and experiences, and also my time on this, the phone lines, it's still quite difficult to put out there sometimes. So a little bit emotional kind of bringing that up tonight. It's still quite raw, and it can hit you sort of quite unexpectedly. And I think it's probably suitable to sort of to bring that up, as it relates very much to something that came into my mind today, about mental health awareness in its entirety in this country. I was kind of thinking about this the last couple of days, and putting it out there as how it's perceived by people individually and collectively. And I think we speak of mental health awareness almost in ceremony, like there's a target that's already been hit. Like we've reached a sort of a point that, okay, we know what this is. It's grand. We know what it is. It's fine. And it's not fucking grand. I don't think that's good enough. Because awareness as such can go stale very fucking quickly. And listen, this is very much an observation rather than any kind of criticism upon any laudable mandate that we may have in our communities and societies. I just believe that despite the positive progressions surrounding, you know, the alertness about mind injury and illness that is extremely fucking prevalent today, let's not forget that. You know, for me, the term awareness, it means recognition, it means attentiveness, appreciation, like fucking enlightenment almost. And like, I feel there's an alignment and familiarity that some people may be affected by the matters of contention, you know, emotionally, but the true morality of the large scale affection that seriously fucking damages people's lives, like, it's yet to find any true cognizance. And when we look at the industry of happiness, and let's not stray away from that, it is a fucking industry, there's a vanilla approach. It's too clean cut when we talk about mental health, and it's put out there as if it's a symptom of just a bad day. And once you practice exercise, morning yoga in the sun, and get involved in sport, everything's gonna be okay. And there's no badness in those messages, none at all. But it's important to remind ourselves that there's a severity of the situation on an individual level that is so much fucking more extreme than that. And we need to remember that when we talk about this awareness. And that's why I think something like alertness is much more of a key sort of word to put in it. We've moved to a place, but we need to keep moving. So I always feel like the end of these segments are quite forced. I'm recording the podcast on an app called Anchor, which is just on my phone. Set up a new episode, press record, and it's built together in blocks of 3-minute segments, which is kind of nice because, as I said, I kind of do it as I go throughout the day. Whatever comes into my head, I'll just sort of pop on and try and get it into a 3-minute segment. But the downside of that is the ending is generally crammed in, and my summary can often sound completely at a loss to what has just been said, whether emotionally or intellectually or otherwise. And we're in a place, and we need to be in another place is not a really good way to sum up what I've just said. What I mean is, the place we are in is a place of compassion and understanding at a family level, at a relationship level, at a community level. And that's perfect. That's fine. And to step that up at a career level, at a workplace level, boxes will be ticked where management now know that they need to have an understanding that people have what a shit going on in their lives, and they might just be having a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, or dealing with a lot of shit that's gone on in their lives, you know, out of sight, and unbeknownst to a lot of people. And that's fine. As I said, it's all good. The place we need to move to is a place of legislation and a place of governance, which needs an entire fucking podcast in itself. But just to summarise and conclude what I had just said in the last segment, which was a little bit emotional, I've pointed that out, that's what I meant. I don't mean we just need to move from place to place, because that would get us fucking nowhere. So be alert, be fine-tuned of your own sort of evaluation and understanding of your own mental health and those closest to you. But don't stop at that. Don't stop at awareness. Keep progressing, keep learning, keep understanding. And keep forcing a hand on any politician that might knock at your door, or anyone you may meet that may have any kind of swing in that area. There's my conclusion. I hope that helps.
I had hoped to never ever mention the word politician on here, but mental health, emotional vitality, it's a political issue as much as anything else. And reality is that in Ireland, as a country, we have a system that doesn't adequately support the people who require treatment when it comes to psychiatry, therapy and guidance. And for that reason, in its absence, that's why we need to be informed and educated and loving at the ground level. And that's why I'm sort of keen to relate to family, friends, community level, because that's where we as individuals can make an impact and make progress. With positive mental health. And to discuss politics and mental health mutually, it's very relevant to raise a very important matter that is happening this week. So unless you've been living on fucking Mars, you will be fully aware that this Friday the referendum to change the 8th Amendment is taking place in this country. And I believe that it would be very ignorant of me to produce a platform such as this podcast in which I trump and promote internal comfort and positive mental health, and to do that to avoid any discussion surrounding the 8th Amendment would be ignominy on my behalf. So to get deep, quite deep about it actually, I believe, and I'm looking at this in a very broad sense, there's three major contributing factors to what I'd consider to be a depression epidemic in this country, and this is all in my opinion. And the first of which is the famine. Now bear with me, but the famine was a fucking plight of an entire generation and more, at the hand of outside leaders. And listen, you're going back 200 years, it's still in terms of history as an entirety, it's still recent times, it's not that long ago. And what I find is a travesty. And in terms of our education, if you look at schools and how this is taught and explained to people, in my time anyway, I mean, I was amazed. It's such a defining event, received nothing more than a paragraph in the history books. It was like, listen, lads, the Spuds were fucked. The end. Like, that's modern day ignominy right there. Towards a disaster that had unbelievable social consequences thereafter, not just at the time. I mean, you combine that with what I've just mentioned, is the fact that as a nation, we had the fucking shit kicked out of us for 800 years, then guess what? Morale is just a tad bit low. And to top that, I mean, number three, and look, again, controversial subject, but such is life, the Catholic Church. And this is not an anti-God measure, it's an anti-establishment measure, an anti-shame measure, because the doctrine, the mantra of this organisation took full heed of its pull right throughout schools and towns throughout the 20th century and more. And it was a drive of shame, a drive of inequality in society. You look at all that the church has opposed in this country over the last 100 years. Contraception, divorce. Homosexuality was a fucking criminal offence in this country. And I'm not going back to medieval times. That's in my lifetime. That is very, very recent. And the above and more, there's no dignity in any of it. And, you know, we grew up, I'm 34, my generation grew up still of the view of the education piece that shame was key. You pleasured yourself, it followed with shame. You didn't go to Mass on Sunday, it was attached with shame, it was sin. If you got married, if you had sex out of wedlock, out of marriage, it was shame. The premise of what they were trying to teach us was sacrifice, shame, punishment by a means of enticing hearts towards fear. And once again, there is no dignity in that. And all of that combined is a thought process that has brought me to where we're at with the Eighth Amendment. And for me, it's about dignity, it's about integrity, it's about equality. And that's what this is about. I believe in this new Ireland, I think we have an opportunity to embrace change. And for this reason, and for the reasons relating to safety and for health, as a man, as a father, as a family man, I'll be voting yes on Friday, and I would encourage all men to do so as well.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.